It's Easter. Christ is risen. And so what? I suspect for most, if not all of us, gathered here this morning, as I said a few minutes ago, the Easter story is not a new story. I suspect for most, if not all of us, gathered here this morning, the story of the empty tomb is one that we've heard before, maybe 5 or 10 or 70, some number of times. I suspect that most, if not all of us, hear the mind-blowing, life-changing, world-altering story of Jesus' resurrection from the dead with familiarity and fondness, and maybe joy, but not necessarily with great wonder and amazement. We knew this was coming. Yeah, it's the resurrection. No biggie. We hear the Easter story and we rejoice and we celebrate and we sing. And by the way, I feel like I want to note that this is the first Easter in 3 years that we've been able to be together in the sanctuary and sing together. It's the first Easter. I've been the pastor here for almost 3 years. It's the first Easter that I've been able to celebrate here with you all. And that's a reason for a hallelujah, I would say. We're Presbyterians after all. That was asking too much. I'm sorry. But we say to each other, Christ is risen. But so what? What does Easter really mean for us right here and right now? Does Easter really matter today for us as individuals, as a community, as a nation, as a planet? In the midst of real and far-reaching pain and heartache, in the face of widespread injustice and suffering, in the presence of so much loss and grief, in the face of ongoing brutality and violence of war, not only between Russia and the Ukraine, but in so many places around the world, does Easter matter? In the presence of so much darkness and despair, so much chaos and conflict, so much suffering and pain, both within ourselves and around us, does Easter matter? When we claim and proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, what are we really saying? Sometimes it feels like we in the church are saying that because Jesus is alive, all of the pain that we experience, the pain that surrounds us, should somehow just go away. That from now on our heartaches should be eliminated somehow. What do we think about that? Is it true? That's a hard no. We all continue to experience heartache. We all continue to witness pain. Sometimes it seems like we're saying that because the tomb is empty, we can simply dismiss injustice. That somehow it's okay now because it's all going to be okay one day. In the sweet by and by, right? No. Injustice is never okay. And we are called to speak out against it and do our part to fight it until that day that Isaiah talks about when it is no more. When we claim and proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it can feel like we're somehow supposed to say that the losses that we experience and continue to experience in the grief that we feel as a result will now somehow be magically wiped away because Jesus has conquered death and there's no reason to be sad anymore. Right? That has absolutely not been my reality. And I suspect, I am confident that it has not been the reality of anyone gathered here this morning. And then there's this one. Because Christ is risen, there should be no more sickness of body or mind or spirit, that we should no longer hurt each other or be hurt by each other, that life will be all joy and no despair, all light and no darkness. God knows that's not true. And we know that's not true. So what is true? What is the good news of Easter? The good news of Easter is that none of that gets the last word. The pain, the suffering, the injustice, the losses, the grief, the sickness, the hurting, the despair, the darkness, all of those things are still very much with us, and they always will be. And they run deep, and they wield tremendous power in our lives and in the world. But Easter assures us that none of them will get the last word, that none of them get the ultimate victory. Easter assures us that none of these things is stronger than the love of God that is embodied in Jesus Christ, in his living, yes, and in his dying, and even more so in his being raised from the dead. In claiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we are claiming that love wins. And that matters. Because of Easter, we can claim that the love of God outlasts all sickness and shame and struggle, and forgives all betrayal and ignorance and arrogance and abuse of power. The love of God holds space for all grief and confusion and outrage and cannot be defeated. In claiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we are claiming that death, which from where we sit can really seem like the end, we are claiming that death is not the end. We're claiming that the love of God is wider and bigger and deeper and stronger and more powerful and more lasting than anything else we can experience in our human existence, and that it holds everything we experience in compassion and tenderness and forgiveness. And that matters too, because we are human, no less than the disciples, no less than those who put Jesus to death. We're all human. And so thank God that the love of God offers forgiveness. This love is not a sappy, sentimental, Hallmark movie kind of love that says, cheer up, don't cry, everything is going to be okay in an hour and a half. This love, God's love, that took on flesh in Jesus and lived and laughed and taught and touched and healed and made whole and went to the cross and died willingly and then kept on loving alive again. This love is a love that says life is hard and painful, and sometimes it's ugly and it's not fair. Just like your parents, our parents tried to tell us, don't ever expect life to be fair. It's hard, and you will struggle, and you will experience betrayal and injustice. Yes, you will love and be loved, and you will hurt. You will hurt others, and you will be hurt. You will experience joy, yes, and you will suffer, and you will cause suffering. You will feel happiness and peace and sadness and anger and excitement and wonder and guilt and shame. You will live and you will die. How's this for an uplifting Easter message? But God's love doesn't stop there. In claiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we are claiming that God's love goes further. It goes beyond. It goes above and beyond and behind and around and under and on top of and before. Through the resurrection of Christ, God tells us that God's love will not and cannot be stopped, not by pain or struggle or injustice, not by betrayal or abuse or fear, not by sickness or suffering or even death. Through all of that, God will be with us. Through all of that, God will empower us to keep going. Through all of that, God will give us strength and courage and wisdom and hope. Through all of that, God will call us by name, like he did to Mary, and God will love us. When we claim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we are claiming that love wins, period. God's love, God's bold, courageous, forgiving, justice-seeking, fierce, compassionate, relentless, boundless love. And when we claim that, we can find a depth of hope and power and courage like nothing else offers, which can allow us to step more fully into this love ourselves, and not just for ourselves, but for the world. And when we step into this love and then falter and fail and mess up, like we will do as beautiful, gloriously imperfect humans, time and time and time and time again, that love will remain, and it will call us back, and it will call our name, and it will call us again to new life. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only begotten Son. And today, on Easter Day, we claim and proclaim that that only begotten Son has risen from the dead. Christ is risen. Amen.